Well, our text this evening is found in Proverbs 16, verses 18 through 20, and various other points in Proverbs as well, as we consider this whole theme of pride and being warned against pride. And really, the main idea that I want you to grasp this evening is this, that it's only by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be delivered from pride, pride that destroys us, both now and forever. You know, when you consider the world around us, one of the mantras that often you hear repeated is this, just follow your heart. The way to get through, just follow your heart. And that advice is meant somehow to secure the very best decisions for us, because if we follow our hearts, we're following what we want for ourselves, and who knows what's best for us apart from ourselves, of course. And so we go in that way. It's applied to all sorts of different areas of our lives, whether it's our careers, our relationships, our money, all manner of things. So when facing some decision, some question in your life, the world says you just need to ask yourself, what is your heart telling you to do? And whatever your heart's telling you to do, well, pursue it. And the problem is that this thinking has also infiltrated so much of what we may call Christian advice, which can at times mix in a few Bible texts, you know, with the advice, well, go where your heart is. Just be true to what you feel and all will be okay. There's a great danger in that type of counsel. You say, well, why? Well, the difficulty is this, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Spurgeon said, the heart is a den of evil. And left to ourselves, we pursue the wrong things because our hearts are fallen, they're sinful. We don't see the world in a right way. We are prone to make foolish decisions that ruin us. And at times, they can ruin the lives of others as well. And so Proverbs, all the way through it, shows us that real wisdom, real truth and wisdom, and in comparison with that, real foolishness, is bound up in two main issues, pride and humility. And if we are proud, trusting in self, rejecting the wisdom of God, which we have seen is namely the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will make decisions that are foolish and that will ruin us both now and forever. But if we are humble, we trust in the Lord, if we look away from ourselves, if we look to the wisdom of God, if we look to the Lord Jesus, if we look to his word, then we'll be granted that which we need to make decisions in dependence upon him. And then we will be wise. And our text really highlights the destruction of pride, but the deliverance of humility. And really, that's what we're going to consider this evening. So the first thing is this, that pride destroys. The danger of trusting in self. You know, as I said, the world wants us to be proud of ourselves. And indeed, to exalt self. You know, we've seen so many marches, which are pride marches. Be proud of all that you are. The Word of God warns us of the terrible destruction and danger that comes with these sins which are related to each other. As one says, while the Disney Channel tells you to rely on yourself and follow your heart, the Bible says that that is foolishness. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And the reason it's wrong to trust in your own heart, to take pride in that, is because of, as I said, your heart is sinful. By nature, it is set against God. It doesn't want God, is in rebellion against God. Proverbs 20:9 asks the question, who can say, I have made my heart clean? Who can say, I am pure from my sin? And the question is phrased in such a way that the expected answer is, well, no one. No one can say that they have cleansed their own heart and purified themselves from sin and become perfect. No one can say that they've been able to rid themselves from all the fallen influence that is there. Romans 3, what does it say? There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who does good. No, not one. And so because of this state which we are in by nature, we don't choose wisely. We don't choose rightly. We are incapable of seeing things clearly. And so following our hearts in that way is always ruinous. And as the earlier proverb stated, it means that we won't be delivered. now or forever. And this is more serious, friends, than just making a few bad decisions which we can try and recover from or making the odd mistake. It is pridefully pursuing a path that leaves us ruined, that leaves us at enmity with God, leaves us facing destruction. Pride is a deadly thing. And that said, even though sinful pride twists our vision of the world, there are still some patterns of godly wisdom that we can acknowledge even in our fallen condition. So most people would see truth when you read in Proverbs that laziness in most cases will lead to poverty of some form. But then there are things that are wise to the Lord that people think are utter foolishness. There are things that are foolishness to God that fallen man think are wise. Think of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20 to 21. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And that's why when it comes to serving the Lord, life in the church, we must be directed by His wisdom, by His means, not the world's. You know, our logic is marred by sin and foolishness and pride. And the biggest problem is this: unless the Lord shows it to us, we can't see it ourselves. We're blind to it. You know, the wisdom of the world makes sense to us because by nature, that's all we know. And that's why it's difficult to consider anything else, because we think our view is right, that we know it all, that we can't be told. And many examples could be given of how being wise in God's eyes will require the humility to go against the world, to look odd in the world's eyes. You know, so the world says to the young people and to all, in fact, you know, explore your relationships and your sexuality. Do what pleases you. You go around and do whatever you want to do. It's no big deal. The world says, you know, you try out all that you want to try out, and especially before marriage, because that's the only way you can find out if it'll work and all the rest. But God says that's destructive. And we can easily say the pain that many have experienced because of intimacy outside of marriage. Many regrets, much brokenness because we ignore the wisdom of God. See, the wisdom of God clashes with the wisdom of the world. Let me give you some other examples that we find in Proverbs. Worldly wisdom says, if you want to get rich, you need to be tight, you need to be selfish, keep things for yourself, build up your own resources. But godly wisdom says in Proverbs 11, there is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Worldly wisdom says, if someone wrongs you, you make sure you get revenge. You make sure you hold that grudge, take pleasure in their failures. But godly wisdom says in Proverbs 24, do not rejoice when your enemy fails. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Proverbs 25, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Worldly wisdom says, well, money will make you happy. So get as much money as you can. Get as many possessions as you can. But godly wisdom says in Proverbs 11, he who trusts in his riches will fall. And Proverbs 13, the righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. In other words, be content with what you have. God says that often you'll be happy with less. Proverbs 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with many troubles. You know, while the world calls us to chase money with all we have, you see in the lives of so many that riches often bring great sadness. Worldly wisdom says, if you want to succeed in life, well, you've got to promote yourself. But godly wisdom says, Proverbs 27, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Worldly wisdom says, let your children run free. Give them freedom. Don't deny them. Don't say no to them. Certainly don't discipline them. But godly wisdom says, Proverbs 13, he who loves his son disciplines him promptly. Worldly wisdom says, get in with the crowd. Don't jeopardize friendships by challenging wrong behavior or having those difficult conversations. It's nothing to do with you anyway. It's not your business. But godly wisdom says in Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And God tells us these things. He shows us these things because he loves us. And when we listen to the world, even if we take a step back, some of his counsel is easily seen as foolish, but other elements are not so easy to see. And that's one of our main problems. It's not that we lack information, but we can't see rightly because our fallen condition means that our perspective is wrong. We don't even know it. We're wise in our own eyes, and that is ultimate foolishness. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So when I was in primary school, we used to have these tests, health tests and various things. And I was tested for colour blindness, and so they brought out all these pictures with dots, and you meant to see amazing things in these dots and numbers and all the rest. Well, I was identified as having a weakness with red and green. So there are times when I cannot distinguish between them. And so not long after this test, I was called out to the head's office. It was a small school. And given the result of this test with a list of jobs that I wouldn't be able to pursue. And top of the list was being a pilot. Well, I was crushed, you know. So there are times when I cannot see those colours. My perception is off. I can't distinguish what they are. And Proverbs says that's how foolishness is. You can't see things as they really are. You can't see the true order of things. And we're self-deceived and we cannot see that we're thinking wrongly. And so we go against the way that God has designed for the world. And we hurt ourselves and we damage ourselves, ruin ourselves. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The way that seems right will in fact lead to ruin and death because you can't see the right way. When we're left to ourselves, we pridefully choose the wrong way. Wise choices don't come naturally to us. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You know, it is so foolish to think that your way is always right and not listen to the wise counsel in your life. And as we see from the scriptures, wisdom requires humility, whereas foolishness is bound up in pride that just won't listen and doesn't see a need to listen, knows it all anyway. And that's why we need to be called away from pride. Called away from trusting ourselves to casting ourselves on the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That is the helpful balance. Trust the Lord, not yourself. Walk in humility, not pride. Proverbs 3:7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Because ultimately foolishness is pridefully thinking that you are wise, that you are always right, that you don't need to be told, and that you don't need the Lord, you don't need his word. It's a lack of humility. And this approach has serious consequences and is lethal to your soul if it is left. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That's a staggering statement. You're worse than a fool if you are proud enough to think that you are wise, that you know best. You know, so you have those who are so sure that they're right that they hurt themselves. And their plans fail because they never sought advice. They ruin their families because they thought they knew better than being faithful. They get into difficulty because they couldn't get ahead apart from cheating. Their children are out of control because they think discipline is outdated. As one says, if you trust yourself or care too much about what others think of you, it can ruin your life. If you fear man rather than God, if you want to be liked and accepted too much, it will lead to foolish and harmful decisions. You know, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Pride destroys. The scriptures say that, Proverbs say that. Pride destroys if it is the defining factor in foolishness. You know, so we need to ask the question, well, where can we find wisdom? Where can we find the place where we can make those decisions that won't ruin us? Where can we find the true path? How can we have the right perspective? While Proverbs tells us that we find wisdom as we humbly follow the Lord and submit to his word. You know, it's that straightforward. Throughout Proverbs and in our texts, the true wisdom is found in humbly trusting the Lord. It is found in that real living relationship with wisdom, Jesus Christ. You know, God, who is the creator, who made the world, who made us, who knows us. Proverbs keeps pointing us back to look to the Lord, to look to his word, to trust him. Don't trust yourself, to get rid of pride, to be humble. That's what Solomon means when he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To humbly look away from yourself, your fallen self full of sin and foolishness, and to look to the great God, and to look to his word. And the fear of the Lord being that reverent awe and dependence upon him as revealed in his word that leads to obedience and pursuing him and knowing him. That right and healthy fear of God who can cast both soul and body into hell. True wisdom humbles us, makes us see that actually we really don't know it all, and that we need to cast ourselves on the one who does. And it's an ongoing battle, even when we have been brought by grace to trust the Lord and to follow him, to know the Savior, to cast ourselves upon him. How many believers still struggle with this? They're full of self. You can't tell them anything. That's not the position of one who is walking closely after the Lord, who has the cross ever in view. It's such a simple message. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But it requires a conviction and a humility that has to be worked in us, that God must do in us. Because we don't naturally fear the Lord. We don't naturally realize our own pride and foolishness. The Lord has to take hold of us. He has to work in us and show us. And we have to be shown that we're not wise in of ourselves. We have to be brought to see that we don't know everything, that we're not always right. And true wisdom is being humble enough to admit that and then to submit yourself to the Lord, to submit yourself to his word. Proverbs 9 says that when you correct a wise man, he will be wiser still. And that means that the person who is truly wise, as the biblical definition of it is, will never come to a point where they feel that they're so wise that they never again need to humble themselves to correction. You wouldn't know that with some believers, by the way. Whereas pride, the essence of foolishness, always ruins, keeps us humble. The fear of God and the knowledge of God always run alongside one another. Proverbs 2:5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And in all of this, friends, we see so clearly that it is that personal relationship with God that is the key to being wise. We fear him because he is the wise God who gives wisdom. It comes from his mouth, and that points us firmly to his word. As one says, in order to fear God and be wise, we must go to his word, submit to its authority for our lives. Do you know, if you were to read Proverbs 30, we've looked at it on a previous occasion. Agur acknowledges that he's not wise. He acknowledges that he's a fool. He acknowledges that he's ignorant. You see, wisdom begins at that point. It is recognizing your own ignorance and foolishness, and that wisdom lies in heaven with God, that wisdom belongs to him and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom is manifested in the Savior and in his word. And in that passage it says this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Do you know, just after I'd finished preparing this message, you know, I took a moment and then watched the news. What was the headlines on the news? Well, the Pope has decided that the words of Jesus in the model prayer need changing. That they're not good enough. That actually he felt that they needed adapting and changing. Well, if you needed an example of what we're talking about, there it is. God's word is sufficient to shape our lives. We don't need to add to it or change it or manipulate it. The problem for our lives, friends, is that often we do try to add to God's word. We think we need something else in addition to the scriptures, something more relevant, something more practical, something more helpful. And so often we fall into the trap of thinking that the scriptures, well, they can't really help us in those very real practical day-to-day things. They can't really help me in how to manage my home or handle my money, so I need some other book or some other series or some other podcast. Now, some of those things may be helpful, but never in a way that replaces the centrality of the Word of God. And we often turn to these other resources first because really underlying all of that, we lack the confidence in the Word of God. It's one of the great tragedies in our day amongst believers, a lack of confidence in the scriptures in so many different ways. We need the Word of God to shape how we understand the world around us, how we are to live in that world. We need so much to see the world through the perspective of the Word of God as it is written and in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that, we'll never truly understand this world around us. We'll never understand ourselves, and we'll ruin ourselves time and time again. Proverbs exhorts us to keep the commands, to look to the law, to look to the prophets. In other words, to look to the whole counsel of God, to look to all of His word. And when we're converted, when God takes hold of us, when He gives us new life, when He changes us, when He humbles us, when He convicts us of our sin, when we're made new, we're given appetites for the Word of God. And He must write that Word on our hearts. But also we have a responsibility to get into the Word, to dwell on it, to meditate upon it, to bind the Word around our neck, as it were, to trust the Lord, to trust His Word as the path to life. Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. There is blessing when we fear the Lord, but rejecting Him will always bring disaster both now and forever. And so we need to pray that God would show us our pride, that we would recognize that we would repent of it, that we would turn away from self and turn to the Lord and trust Him. And then, drawing it all together, wisdom is also heeding godly counsel. You know, Proverbs tells us that if we're to be wise, then we need to be ready to humbly listen to godly counsel, which primarily comes through His word. But the Lord has also granted us His people to help us as well. And we have that great blessing, don't we, as we share from the scriptures with one another, and godly parents and pastors and friends. And foolishness rejects all of these and thinks, oh, well, you don't need to listen because you've got it all right. True wisdom means submitting to godly counsel that has its foundation in the scriptures and is consistent with scriptural principles. And so we're humble when we're ready to heed and to submit to godly counsel because we know we need it. And because we need to learn, and we need to learn from our mistakes, which we all make. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands. The prating fool will fall. You know, there are times when we need to recognize that correction is in our best interest, and it will not be good for us to ignore it, even though many act that way. You say, well, where does this counsel come from? Well, one of the places that we're called to submit humbly to is our parents. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And so God has placed these authorities in our lives for our good. And so wise children recognize that and submit to their parents' authority, while fools refuse to listen to their parents. Fools think their parents are unwise and outdated. But we'll learn one day just how foolish that is. And so I say, well, I've got unbelieving parents, ungodly parents. Well, the Bible says that we're still supposed to respect authority figures that He has placed in our lives, even if they're unbelievers. Paul exhorts the church at Rome to submit to a government that is run by Nero, murdering believers. The Bible is clear that unless the ordained authority in your life is forcing you to disobey God, we are to respect it and to listen. You say, well, I'm at that stage of life where I no longer have parental influence. Well, there are other figures in authority to whom we should listen. For example, those whom the Lord has set in the local church in positions of responsibility. Pastors, and Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. And there are others in our church family as well. Great gift from the Lord, godly friends, who tell us what we need to hear in genuine love, not just what we want to hear. You know, that's genuine fellowship, isn't it, when we're able to share in that real level. We should all desire that loving closeness with someone who can watch out for us in that way. Why? Because we're designed for this. We're not called to be isolated and to be alone or on the periphery. We're called to be part of a family. Now, I'm so thankful for those in my life with whom I've been able to share honestly and seek advice from and pray with. You know, pridefully refusing to listen to counsel harms you and the people around you, and you'll go astray. And you might just lead others astray at the same time as well by your foolishness. So how do we draw all this together? Well, our sinful hearts, friends, they're set against God. They're in rebellion against Him. They reject His voice. They tell us constantly to listen to the wrong voice, which often is our own. And that was evident at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Continues to be the case. Do you remember there the serpent deceived Eve to pursue what was right in her own eyes instead of listening and submitting to the word of God? And he asked the question, didn't he? Has God said, is God's word enough? Do you not want to pursue this different path? And foolishness is that, pride is that, to reject God's word, to listen to the wrong voice, to follow what we think is wise rather than what God has said. Trusting yourself, listening to Satan, they go together. Never forget that it was pride that caused even Satan's fall. Ezekiel 28:17, speaking of Lucifer's fall, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And Eve there in the garden, she pursued wisdom and knowledge whilst turning away from the word of God. And it ruined, it was destructive, it led to death. Adam, who bore the responsibility, he did the same. We bear the consequences, it ruined us. And they turned from God's wisdom and truth. And as sin took hold, they lost the perception of where true wisdom was. And everything was marred by the fall. And so it is even now. And just as then all of us have chosen by nature to disobey God's word, we have chosen the wisdom of the world over God's word, over the way of God and the way of truth and righteousness. And the consequences of that, unchecked, undealt with, the consequences of that proud foolishness and rebellion are death and judgment. But you know, in the midst of all of that, there is one who did not succumb to that. There is one who lived perfectly in accordance with the will of God. There is one who was altogether wise. And when temptation came to him to go his own way, to do his own thing, to exalt himself, to turn away from the word of God, he replied, not my will, but yours be done. The perfect God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, who obeyed the word and will of God, even to the point where it led him to death upon a cross, to save proud, sinful fools like me and like you. And he went to that cross to take all our rebellion, all our stubbornness, all our arrogance, all our pride, and he dealt with it at Calvary. And he took our place to pay the price for all of that so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be delivered from foolishness and ruin and destruction and brought to the way of wisdom and life and truth and joy and hope. You know, to us who believe, these things really are the wisdom of God and the power of God. You see, to be wise means to reject the world. It means to repent of your sin. It means to run to Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. To trust in Christ, who is God's wisdom and sanctification for us. That is wisdom. And when you turn to him and when you trust him, he will save you, he will change you, he will make you wise, he will give you new appetites, that right perspective, that right view of the world. You will see things with eternity in view, and you will see things as they really are, and you will be granted all that you need to live as you were meant to, in accordance with his word and his way to his glory. And friends, if we are believers who have been plucked in that way and granted to be on the path to wisdom, do you know what should be the case? Pride should be killed in us. And how do we kill pride? By keeping the cross in view. By looking to the Lord Jesus. You know, pride shows itself and stirs itself up and shows itself in the life of the church when Jesus is quickly forgotten. And when we take our eyes off him, the cross must ever be in view. Because when we survey the wondrous cross, pride is extinguished in us. And so the question comes tonight, dear friend, which path will you choose? The path of sin and pride and foolishness, which ruins, that wise way that leads to destruction? Or will you follow the path of true wisdom? In and through Jesus Christ, whom if you come saying, Lord, I am a sinner, I am a fool, I've been proud, I've gone my own way, oh God, have mercy upon me. He will deliver you, and he will save you, and he will lead you on that path to glory. And the work that he has begun, he will indeed bring through to completion. The cross is the antidote to pride. Faith in Jesus is the way of the truly wise. Amen. Let's sing together that remarkable hymn of Isaac Watts as we close, 203. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. 203.